Good day to you all, dear ones, and welcome to this third day of April. It is day 93 in our journey through the Bible. Hello to everyone out there. My name's Hunter. I am your brother, your Bible reading coach, someone who shows up with you every day to spend some time together in the pages of the Bible. And we're going to let the Bible do what the Bible does and point the way, my friends. Direct our hearts to the one who is the living Word of God, the one alone who has the words of life. And so we come because he has drawn us into that life. And today, we're going to look into the book of Judges. That's where we'll start, Judges 17 and 18. Then we'll go to Psalm 89, and we'll finish in 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Father, thank you. Help us to see. Judges 17. There was a man named Micah who lived in the hill country of Ephraim. One day he said to his mother, "I heard you place a curse on the person who stole 1,100 pieces of silver from you. Well, I have the money. I was the one who took it." "The Lord bless you for admitting it," his mother replied. He returned the money to her, and she said, "I now dedicate these silver coins to the Lord. In honor of my son, I will have an image carved and an idol cast." So when he returned the money to his mother, she took 200 silver coins and gave them to a silversmith, who made them into an image and an idol. And these were placed in Micah's house. Micah set up a shrine for the idol, and he made a sacred ephod and made some household idols. Then he installed one of his sons as his personal priest. In those days, Israel had no king. All the people did whatever seemed right in their own eyes. One day, a young Levite who had been living in Bethlehem in Judah arrived in that area. He had left Bethlehem in search of another place to live. And as he traveled, he came to the hill country of Ephraim. He happened to stop at Micah's house as he was traveling through. "Where are you from?" Micah asked him. He replied, "I'm a Levite from Bethlehem in Judah, and I'm looking for a place to live." "Stay here with me," Micah said, "and you can be a father and priest to me. I will give you 10 pieces of silver a year, plus a change of clothes and your food." The Levite agreed to this, and the young man became like one of Micah's sons. So Micah installed the Levite as his personal priest, and he lived in Micah's house. "I know the Lord will bless me now," Micah said, "because I have a Levite serving as my priest." Judges 18. Now in those days Israel had no king, and the tribe of Dan was trying to find a place where they could settle, for they had not yet moved into the land assigned to them, when the land was divided among the tribes of Israel. So the men of Dan chose from their clans 5 capable warriors from the towns of Zorah and Eshtaol to scout out a land for them to settle in. When these warriors arrived in the hill country of Ephraim, they came to Micah's house and spent the night there. While at Micah's house, they recognized the young Levite's accent. So they went over and asked him, "Who brought you here? And what are you doing in this place? Why are you here?" He told them about his agreement with Micah, that he had been hired as Micah's personal priest. Then they said, "Ask God whether or not our journey will be successful." "Go in peace," the priest replied, "for the Lord is watching over your journey." So the 5 men went on to the town of Laish, where they noticed the people living carefree lives. Like the Sidonians, they were peaceful and wealthy because their land was very fertile, and they lived a great distance from Sidon and had no allies nearby. When the men returned to Zorah and Eshtaol, their relatives asked them, "What did you find?" The men replied, "Come on, let's attack them. We have seen the land, and it's very good. What are you waiting for? Don't hesitate to go and take possession of it. When you get there, you will find the people living carefree lives. God has given us a spacious and fertile land, lacking in nothing." So 600 men from the tribe of Dan, armed with weapons of war, set out from Zoar and Eshtaol. They camped at a place west of Kiriath Jearim in Judah, which is called Manahem Dan to this day. Then they went on from there into the hill country of Ephraim and came to the house of Micah. The 5 men who had scouted out the land around Laish explained to the others, "These buildings contain a sacred ephod as well as some household idols, a carved image and a cast idol. What do you think you should do?" Then the 5 men turned off the road and went over to Micah's house, where the young Levite lived, and greeted him kindly. As the 600 armed warriors from the tribe of Dan stood at the entrance of the gate, the five scouts entered the shrine and removed the carved image, the sacred ephod, the household idols, and the cast idol. Meanwhile, the priest was standing at the gate with the 600 armed warriors. When the priest saw the men carrying all the sacred objects out of Micah's shrine, he said, "What are you doing?" "Be quiet and come with us," they said. "Be a father and priest to all of us. Isn't it better to be a priest for an entire tribe and clan of Israel than for the household of just one man?" The young man was quite happy to go with them, so he took along the sacred ephod, the household idols, and the carved image. They turned and started on their way again, placing their children, livestock, and possessions in front of them. When the people from the tribe of Dan were quite a distance from Micah's house, the people who lived near Micah came chasing after them. They were shouting as they caught up with them. The men of Dan turned around and said to Micah, "What's the matter? Why have you called these men together and chased after us like this?" "What do you mean? What's the matter?" Micah replied. "You've taken away all the gods I've made and my priests, and I have nothing left." The men of Dan said, "Watch what you say. There are some short-tempered men around here who might get angry and kill you and your family." So the men of Dan continued on their way. When Micah saw that there were too many of them for him to attack, he turned around and went home. Then with Micah's idols and his priest, the men of Dan came to the town of Laish, whose people were peaceful and secure. They attacked with swords and burned the town to the ground. There was no one to rescue the people, for they lived a great distance from Sidon and had no allies nearby. This happened in the valley near Beth Rehob. Then the people of the tribe of Dan rebuilt the town and lived there. They renamed the town Dan after their ancestor, Israel's son. But it had originally been called Laish. Then they set up the carved image and they appointed Jonathan, son of Gershom, son of Moses, as their priest. This family continued as priests for the tribe of Dan until the exile. So Micah's carved image was worshipped by the tribe of Dan as long as the tabernacle of God remained in Shiloh. Psalm 89. A psalm of Ethan the Ezrahite. I will sing of the Lord's unfailing love forever. Young and old will hear of your faithfulness. Your unfailing love will last forever. Your faithfulness is as enduring as the heavens. The Lord said, "I have made a covenant with David, my chosen servant. I have sworn this oath to him. I will establish your descendants as kings forever. They will sit on your throne from now until eternity. All heaven will praise your great wonders, Lord. Myriads of angels will praise you for your faithfulness. For who in all the heavens can compare with the Lord? What mightiest angel is anything like the Lord? The highest angelic powers stand in awe of God, for he is far more awesome than all who surround his throne. O Lord God of heaven's armies, where is there anyone as mighty as you, O Lord? You are entirely faithful. You rule the oceans. You subdue their storm-tossed waves. You crushed the great sea monster. You scattered their enemies with your mighty arm. The heavens are yours, and the earth is yours. Everything in the world is yours. You created it all. You created the north and south, Mount Tabor and Mount Harmon. Praise your name. Powerful is your arm. Strong is your hand. Your right hand is lifted high in glorious strength. Righteousness and justice are the foundations of your throne. Unfailing love and truth walk before you as attendants. Happy are those who hear the joyful call to worship, for they will walk in the light of your presence, Lord. They rejoice all day long in your wonderful reputation. They exult in your righteousness. You are their glorious strength. It pleases you to make us strong. Yes, our protection comes from the Lord, and he, the Holy One of Israel, has given us our king. Long ago you spoke in a vision to your faithful people. You said, "I have raised up a warrior. I have selected him from the common people to be a king. I have found my servant David. I have anointed him with my holy oil. I have steadied him with my hand. With my powerful arm, I will make him strong. His enemies will not defeat him, nor will the wicked overpower him. I will beat down his adversaries before him and destroy those who hate him. My faithfulness and unfailing love will be with him, and by my authority he will grow in power. I will extend his rule over the sea, his dominion over the rivers, and he will call out to me, 'You are my Father, my God, and the rock of my salvation. I will make him my firstborn son, the mightiest king on earth. I will love him and be kind to him forever. My covenant with him will never end. I will preserve an heir for him. His throne will be as endless as the days of heaven. But if his descendants forsake my instructions and fail to obey my regulations, if they do not obey my decrees and fail to keep my commands, then I will punish their sin with the rod and their disobedience with beating. But I will never stop loving him, nor fail to keep my promise to him. No, I will not break my covenant. I will not take back a single word I said. I have sworn an oath to David, and in my holiness I cannot lie. His dynasty will go on forever. His kingdom will endure as the sun. It will be as eternal as the moon, my faithful witness in the sky. But now you have rejected him and cast him off. You are angry with your anointed king, and you renounced your covenant with him. You have thrown his crown in the dust, and have broken down the walls protecting him, and ruined every fort defending him. Everyone who has come along has robbed him, and he has become a joke to his neighbors. You have strengthened his enemies, and have made them all rejoice. You have made his sword useless and refused to help him in battle. You have ended his splendor and overturned his throne. You have made him old before his time and publicly disgraced him. O Lord, how long will this go on? Will you hide yourself forever? How long will your anger burn like fire? Remember how short my life is, how empty and futile this human existence. No one can live forever. All will die. No one can escape the power of the grave. Lord, where is your unfailing love? You promised it to David with a faithful pledge. Consider, Lord, how your servants are disgraced. I carry in my heart the insults of so many people. Your enemies have mocked me, O Lord. They mock your anointed king wherever he goes. Praise the Lord forever. Amen and amen. 2 Corinthians 3. Are we beginning to praise ourselves again? Are we like others who need to bring letters of recommendation or who ask you to write such letters on their behalf? Surely not. The only letter of recommendation we need is you yourselves. Your lives are a letter written on our hearts. Everyone can read it and recognize our good work among you. Clearly, you are a letter from Christ showing the results of our ministry among you. This letter is written not with pen and ink, with the Spirit of the living God. It is carved not on tablets of stone, but on human hearts. We are confident of all this because of our great trust in God through Christ. It is not that we think we are qualified to do anything on our own. Our qualifications come from God. He has enabled us to be ministers of His new covenant. This is a covenant not of written laws, but of the Spirit. The old written covenant ends in death, but under the new covenant, the Spirit gives life. The old way, with laws etched in stone, led to death. Though it began with such glory that the people of Israel could not bear to look at Moses' face, for his face shone with the glory of God, even though the brightness was already fading away. Shouldn't we expect far greater glory under the new way, now that the Holy Spirit is giving life? If the old way, which brings condemnation, was glorious, how much more glorious is the new way, which makes us right with God? In fact, that first glory was not glorious at all compared with the overwhelming glory of the new way. So if the old way which has been replaced was glorious, how much more glorious is the new, which remains forever? Since this new way gives us such confidence, we can be very bold. We are not like Moses, who put a veil over his face so the people of Israel would not see the glory, even though it was destined to fade away. But the people's minds were hardened, and to this day, whenever the old covenant is being read, the same veil covers their minds so that they cannot understand the truth. And this veil can be removed only by believing in Christ. Yes, even today, when they read Moses' writings, their hearts are covered with that veil, and they do not understand. But whenever someone turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. For the Lord is the Spirit, and wherever the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. So all of us who have had that veil removed can see and reflect the glory of the Lord, and the Lord who is the Spirit makes us more and more like Him as we are changed into His glorious image. And now may the One who is glorious and gives us freedom, may He now give us His blessing in the reading and hearing of His Word. Amen. Paul compares our life to a letter. It's a new letter. God has written us a new letter and has imprinted it on our hearts. God's old letter, the law, Paul says that it was glorious, but it pales in comparison to the new letter. The old was meant to pass away. The old was temporary until the new arrived. And this new letter was not written on tablets of stone with human hands. It was written by God through His Spirit onto our hearts. And this Spirit-written letter sets us free. How about that? The new letter of your life reads this: you are loved, you are free, you are His. Paul wants you to know the contents. Your identity is found in this letter, and oh, how we need to know the contents well. People have been trying to write their own life letter since the beginning of time, like Micah, who we read about today. He's going to create his own ephod, his own carved images, his own idol. Those were the days when everyone did what was right in their own eyes. And those days have never really ended. They continue on to this day. Micah and his mother, and the carved image in the ephod, and the altar, all crafted and written, as it were, with their own hands. It was all about them. These things really had nothing to do with God. We're even told that Moses' son, Jonathan, became the priest who oversaw these religious icons, these idols. And this story gets lived out time and time again, but it never works. It never really satisfies. It never sets us free. In fact, it seems to blind us even more. It makes things more complicated. We find ourselves exhausted and discouraged and lost and bored when we make this letter about us. But God's letter is written on our hearts, and it gives us confidence before God. Because you stand free, forgiven, loved before God, and that gives the confidence that your heart is longing for. So receive that today. He has set you free. So live today in the confidence that comes from the new thing that God has written on your heart. You are loved, you are free, and you are His. And that's a prayer that I have for my own soul. That's the prayer that I have for my family, for my wife, my daughters, and my son. And that's a prayer that I have for you. May it be so. Let's continue now in a time of prayer. Feel free to read along with these prayers in the show notes of today's podcast and meditate on these words that are being spoken over you, your family, and our world. And now, let us pray. Lord God, Almighty and Everlasting Father, you have brought us in safety to this new day. Preserve us with your mighty power, that we might not fall into sin or be overcome by adversity. And in all we do, direct us to the fulfilling of your purpose, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. O God, you have made of one blood all the peoples of the earth, and sent your blessed Son to preach peace to those who are far and those who are near. Grant that people everywhere may seek after you and find you. Bring the nations into your fold, pour out your Spirit on all flesh, and hasten the coming of your kingdom. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And now, Lord, make me an instrument of your peace. Where there is hatred, let me sow love. Where there is injury, pardon. Where there is doubt, faith.
Where there is despair, hope. Where there is darkness, light. And where there is sadness, joy. O Lord, grant that I might not seek so much to be consoled as to console, to be understood as to understand, to be loved as to love. For it is in the giving that we receive, in the pardoning that we are pardoned. It is in the dying that we are born unto eternal life. Amen. And now, as our Lord has taught us, we are bold to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen.
Thank you for joining me in today's podcast. Here we are already, folks, in the middle of the week. And it might be a good time for us to check in on ourselves to see how things are going. With our hearts, with our soul, with our relationships. And in that inventory, maybe we can take some time to be grateful, to reflect upon those things that are good, things that are a product of grace, my friend. And that can be your relationship with your wife, with your friends, with your children. We have much to be grateful for. Let's be sure not to get through these weeks of our lives without taking time to be grateful, to say thank you. Gratitude has such an amazing way of changing our outlook, our attitude, giving us a perspective that is hopeful. And it helps us to take that next step, to head on into the rest of the week. So, may God help us to be grateful today. I'm grateful. I'm grateful for you all. I'm grateful that we can share this time together. I'm grateful that the Spirit of God helps us to navigate life's many challenges, disappointments, joys, frustrations. We have an advocate, we have a helper, we have the resources for the life that we have. And that is such a good thing. Well, friends, what are you grateful for? Head on over to our Facebook page and let us know. Better yet, just let those folks know that you are grateful for today. And what do you say we do this again? I'll be grateful if you show up again tomorrow. I'll be grateful if you don't. But it would be fun to do this again together with you. That's my plan. Lord willing and the creek don't rise. Your brother Hunter plans on being here. Until that time, let's go forward in God's joy. Let's let his joy be our strength. And let us always remember this. That you are loved. No doubt about it. Alrighty, I'll talk to you again tomorrow. You guys take care. Bye.